Marina is a certified hypnotist that utilizes the power of neuro-linguistic programming, ego state work, yoga practices to help people implement real change in their lives. Marina believes that hypnosis puts people in the driver's seat of change while working at the root of where patterns are fired and wired in the brain and subtle parts of us. All right. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. I am so excited for today's guest because we have a topic today that I have to say I didn't see in my future. However, once I had taken a look at all of her content, I was really blown away about the power of hypnosis. Please, 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 Marina, can you just take it right away for me? Tell everyone what you do, all about your work and how you ended up here today, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I could actually echo that looking back, I wouldn't expect that I would be here and as a hypnotist. So my path to get here, I'm originally in, and still am, a business consultant, worked in change management, strategic planning, avid traveler, really interested in Eastern philosophy and really anything esoteric. And as of past years, focusing on teaching a lot of like meditation, yoga, philosophy. And where my path kind of got shifted onto hypnosis was a really good friend of mine one day did some hypnosis with me. And as he did it with me, it put a language and a form to something that felt like it was already naturally coming through me. And it was something I was like, I wish this practice like X existed. And I didn't know it did, largely because hypnosis makes us think of, you know, walking like a chicken and stuff like that. But I got on this path, I was just blown away by the ability to meet people where they are, beyond what they might believe, beyond their philosophy, beyond religion, and utilize that shift in that inner landscape and our unconscious to make some really powerful changes that stick.
You just said like maybe three sentences and already I'm like, we have so much to unpack just from what you said. So let's break that down a little bit further. So what exactly is hypnosis and hypnotherapy, and how does all of this come back around to kind of unlocking that subconscious that we all need to tap into in order to really heal and grow and progress? Mm-hmm.
So hypnosis, one of, I think, the easiest ways to explain it is to contrast it to meditation. So if we think of meditation as this practice that we, and mindfulness, that we're focusing on a specific object, point of focus, and we can continuously bring our attention back as we notice our mind wander, bring it back. And ultimately, if we do this for long enough, we do end up actually in a similar state of trance. We might actually altogether just forget that point of focus. Now, hypnosis is utilizing that state of trance, and becoming and going into that state of hypnosis is very much, I compare it to a open surrender expansion rather than lasering in on something. And so ultimately, when we're in hypnosis, as a hypnotist, I'm trained to respond kind of in this loop of what's going on with this person right now, and utilizing like different senses, language, imagery, in order to unlock that space where someone can kind of just release and be in that state of relaxed awareness, which is really what a lot of people find trance feels like. And in that state, it kind of brings down our barriers, that thing that's, you know, when we're focusing on a few things at a time, it brings it down so that we can speak more directly to the unconscious. When I say subconscious, unconscious, or conscious mind, what I'm referring to is the conscious mind being what's in focusing, what we're focusing on right now, few things at a time. And the unconscious, or what we call subconscious, is everything else. My heart's beating automatically. I have many memories I can access. I have tons of learnings, and they're all there. And ultimately, that's what we're utilizing for the change, is everything there. People might also call it, universal consciousness, depending on what your frame of reference is. I ultimately think it really comes down to the same thing.
Yeah. So I think one of the first things that I really picked up on
when you were explaining that is the trance state, mm-hmm. in which you kind of compare to meditation, where it is a extremely deep and profound sense of relaxation. And I think it's interesting that you stated that, because we, in such a very busy hustle society, don't reach that intense state of relaxation on a normal basis. So that is what we define a trance as. So when we think of meditation, or we think of especially hypnosis, going into a state of trance, it really is just being so relaxed to the point of you aren't anxiously thinking of the future. You aren't depressed and thinking of the past. You are so incredibly relaxed and in your present being that you think you're in a different reality, which I find extremely amusing and enlightening now that I'm getting to where I am in my own healing journey, because I kind of thought the same way. I was like, oh, meditation, or oh, hypnosis, you're going into a trance. Like, what's going to happen? But it's this profound sense of relaxation and peace. So hypnosis for me is extremely interesting because of that deep and profound sense of peace that you can reach. So what I want to ask you is, with the stereotype that is all around hypnosis and this trance-like state, how do you kind of almost modernize it and switch people's perspectives and mindset and show them how it can be healing and really fulfilling in your journey?
Wow, that is such a good question. And actually, how you already framed that was putting in the direction that I really wanted to speak to. And kind of the image that comes to my head is like a sandwich. And like there's the bottom of the sandwich maybe is that piece where that perception of hypnosis being walking like a chicken, stage hypnosis, forcing people to do things. And even in stage hypnosis, you can't do anything that you don't actually want to do. So no one can come along and make you do something you don't want to do in hypnosis. That's one of the main misconceptions there. And that you can utilize the trance for entertainment. Now, the top layer of that maybe is this, and in the middle is, I'm going to say, the medium ground that puts that all together. The top layer of that sandwich might be when we're perceiving trance and we think of, oh, it's this thing way out there and metaphysical and all this kind of different language that brings it even further outside ourselves. And I find actually separates people from even the state of trance or word of trance itself by thinking, oh, that's that foofy stuff over there. Similar to how I think meditation largely used to be perceived. And now that's shifting. That's an okay paradigm if that's someone's beliefs and they love that language, that's great. But when you're speaking to making it more accessible, that can also make it more inaccessible. So I like what you said about it's there. Like when people say, can I be hypnotized? Yes, you can. It's already there. You already experience trance, watching TV, driving and ending up somewhere, forgetting how you got there. You experience it multiple times a day. And so it's like, how do we just train ourselves to relax and release? And it's already within it, us, our body, our mind knows how to do it. And it's more of like this, I think of it like you're releasing out with the hands rather than you're, you know, zeroing in to try to get somewhere or something or some spiritual aspiration. So that's what comes to my mind when you say that.
Yeah, I really appreciate what you're saying, that we go into trance states more frequent than we realize. We just don't necessarily put two and two together that trance-like state is almost sought after. So it happens and we're just like, oh, I guess that just somehow happens. And you're like, but that deep relaxed state is actually a very profound moment of peace that we do seek. But the people who seek it are usually the ones who are extremely in tune and self-aware. So when we do experience those random moments of trance, we're just like, ah, okay. But how could someone who maybe is just starting out on this journey, how can they look at hypnosis with a new mindset and be open to the potential benefits and what it can really do in a positive way in their healing journey? So can you kind of like break down how to switch that mindset and maybe who hypnosis would be a good experience for?
Yeah, again, great question. What comes up when you're saying that is, one, I would say to people that are experimenting with this, tune more into the senses. If you follow your senses long enough, you'll experience a state of trance. Say you get yourself into a meditative state and you notice, wow, I feel this sensation of yellow or this warmth. Just follow it. And as you continue to follow it, you'll feel like this trance-like state. And so say one, it's highly connected to the senses, and senses are largely that vehicle actually into trance in the way that we describe it. And why this also connects to why it's so effective and how, you know, can, we can shift our perception around it is because perception itself, if we, and I'm going to put on a little bit of my yogic hat here, is when I look at someone, I'm automatically having different thoughts based on my past experiences. I'm seeing them. When I see them, I'm hearing them. I'm maybe smelling them. Maybe I'm, you know, I don't know, I touched them, I pat them on the shoulder or something. And all of this is giving me information. And all of that information is already going through the filter that I have based on my experience and perceptions. And you can imagine how it would be so difficult to go out our day-to-day conversations if every single time I saw someone, I had to completely calibrate them anew through my senses, or even a friend, which is why, this is a side note, but why we get wired into even responding to people the same way as we've already done and then end up in this vortex. So hypnosis is utilizing, it's actually helping us to rewire our responses, our automatic responses, AKA unconscious, our hearts beating, we access this thought or memory, it makes us perceive ABCD, makes us feel less self-worth or something like that. And so when we start utilizing hypnosis, we're able to shift at the unconscious level those patterns that are already there that really run our life, and they help us in many ways. It, sometimes those parts just don't fit anymore, and ultimately their creation even through our vehicles of perception, our senses in the world, which is why I think our senses are the most tangible portal we can use to, and what we actually do use in hypnosis, if we broke it down a lot.
I have a question about hypnotherapy. So traditional therapy, in the most traditional sense possible, I don't think it necessarily gets you to use all five of your senses. Is that what is really different with hypnotherapy? Ooh. Would you say, like, how would you look at regular therapy and kind of undoing negative thought patterns and going through maybe even DBT therapy? How would that compare to hypnotherapy, and what really is the difference?
So one would be, I think a lot of therapy right now is focused on talk therapy. Often it's also focused in the past. There is also like coaching focused more on the future, largely focused on talk though. And it's interesting what you say, because maybe it's happening more that people are integrating other senses into therapy. But I don't know if we're talking, we're still talking out of the space that we've been speaking from. And sometimes it gives a great like realization. So I think it's a good path as well. But I think that's the main differentiator. It's like, are we talking and are we focusing on the past? Hypnosis is very much, okay, we talk a little bit about the past, but really it's about what you want to create, because that's what we focus on, unless there's stuff to be cleared. Yet one can even do hypnosis content free. And I find that gives space for some people to, you know, just look within and have it guided in a way that's with their landscape, not through anyone else's perception of it. It's kind of like going in and saying, oh, you like look here, and how are they actually interpreting it and connecting with that shift that they want to make? So yeah, to sum it up, maybe like focusing on the alternate to being like talk based and past based, it's more future based, sensory based, and future based on what outcome someone actually wants to create.
That sounds amazing. I think some of my biggest qualms with therapy is that it isn't a lot of, in traditional therapy, is there isn't a lot of action based to it. So sometimes it can feel stagnant or stuck in the past because you keep revisiting those past moments of hardship or even trauma for some people. And I find that's extremely off-putting for some people, and they don't want to go into therapy for those exact reasons, is reliving that and having to kind of go through all of those motions and just talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so I love that hypnosis and hypnotherapy is much more creation based, and it almost sounds like it's making you envision what your life you would actually want it to be had you not all of these judgments, had you not all of this shame, had you not all of these preconceived notions because of your experiences really come into play.
Yeah. Well, and I think like that one of the things that came to mind as you were saying that is ultimately change happens. At some point, it's like you're smoking. Some point, you just don't smoke anymore. It goes in the garbage can and you step into something new. Can't bring it with you.
So can you walk me through what a traditional session would look like?
Yeah, you're on the same page. I was thinking, I feel like it'd be really useful now to share what it actually looks like.
Yeah, I want to get kind of like your framework and what a session looks like. And then I want to break down each part, I think, and ask questions.
Sure. So often what it looks like is, oh, and I probably say the other differentiator is hypnosis assumes things happen really fast, really, really, really fast. It's going in. That's usually the mindset of change too. It's not that everything takes, that things that people have maybe spent years on, sometimes they will resolve in one or two sessions. I just say that because there's a different perception around it. And that speaks to kind of the way that I'm going to speak to the structure as well. In a regular hypnosis session, as I structure it, you'd come in and you'd say, first I'd do a little bit of hand-wringing analysis and asking questions up front to see, okay, what do they actually want to change? What do they want to look it to look like? What they've done in the past that has worked or hasn't worked? So it's really getting that like a current state assessment. What's going on right now? And then often what will happen is going into, okay, is there some kind of trauma or something in the way? So it's like, we can't build a house on quicksand. So, okay, there's trauma. Okay, we work on that and clearing that. And usually I use like neuro-linguistic programming and mixed with hypnosis. So we're actually, every time we access a memory, it changes. And so we're utilizing those tools to actually shift our response to that trauma, as that trauma might have been created actually in an instant. And two, we can go in and shift that response that might be really trying to help us or warn us in some way, but really isn't helping and coming up in weird scenarios, causing different responses. So we're looking at, what do they want the change to look like? Is there any kind of trauma or just something in the way? When I say trauma, I mean, there are so many degrees of trauma. So I'm not just saying like big T trauma. It could be other things, or when we're like 3 or 4 years old, something happens and it can be something really small, but it shifts us in a big way. Then I'd go into third, the actual hypnosis work, where it's more focused in the future state. And what that looks like is we're working with the senses. So it might be they have their eyes closed. I'm getting them to, you know, notice the sensation in their body. I'm doing an induction, which is that point that helps someone get into trance. So it could be, you know, they've got like a cataleptic limb, or you're creating some REM through the eyes, something just to help dunk a bit deeper. Then it's doing more of these like deepeners to go into a deeper state of trance while noticing, okay, what are the different indicators and things happening? And then doing the different maybe guided imagery, where someone is actually going in, and it might sound like a metaphor, yet they're really actually shifting at the unconscious level. So say, for example, I'm going in to get someone to imagine a control room of their mind and turning dials. It's actually shifting something. And then doing direct suggestion would be after that, and then coming out of trance. So overall, it's assessing like upfront the change they want to make, then going and clearing, then doing hypnosis, which is like guided imagery, bring awareness to senses, and really that loop of between the person, I can do different things to see what state of trance are they in right now, and deepening. Once they're at that deeper point, then we work with imagery or direct suggestion, and then come out of trance. And often people will just notice that something has changed. And then there might be another session if there's other like pieces and bits based on that.
Going back to almost the beginning of you stating the structure and everything, I think the phrase you said that is going to stick with me after all of this is that the house can't be built on quicksand. I feel like I need like a bell. Like I need to like, yeah, like I'm like, oh, because yes. So if someone comes to you and they do have some unresolved trauma, how do you as a professional assess that? And again, how do you make the quicksand into a mold? How do you make it a much more structured ground in order to move forward and build?
Often what it starts with is they'll tell me like what might be there. And I'm asking some questions to figure out, okay, what is this actually in the way? Usually it's a matter of tracking back different memories to when someone's really young, and then shifting the way that their brain is interpreting that memory every time something comes up and reminds them of it. So for a very literal example, might do techniques where usually when you think of this memory, it's like super bright and colorful and very close to you, and you can feel it like that. And we'll work at shifting it so you can remember the memory. But when you remember it, it's kind of like grainy and out here, and we're making it more dissociated versus associated in the neural pathways. So when you see this water and you want to jump in, you automatically, there's not that coloring of that memory that's unconsciously shaping your decision. Rather, you're starting, that barrier just isn't there anymore. And this is a real example.
That is fascinating and sounds
unreal, right?
It also sounds like something people who suffer with trauma almost dream about. They almost dream that they wish they could look at a certain memory from a distance and recognize that it's still part of them, but they just wish that it wasn't so close. And I would say with my own experience with trauma, that's exactly what it feels like. It always just feels like when the memories come up, it is just so close to you and you feel like you can't escape it. Now, this obviously sounds extremely interesting for my own history and my own past and my own journey. So I'm going to mental note for something to try. But what I also want to ask is, how can we make hypnosis less intimidating, less scary for those who do maybe have unresolved trauma or a past that maybe they are also willing to face, especially if there are memories and visuals that are going to come up during a session?
Mm-hmm. That's such a good question. One first thing I'd say is assessing kind of the will to change. Like, is it something, first of all, that someone really wants to change? Are they ready to change it? And they're just like, it's sick of it. I'm willing to do anything to shift this. I'm ready. That's like the first one I'd say. And then the second one being that trust, like being with a practitioner that someone feels they're trusted, they trust and they're held. I find that it makes it not as daunting to go into it. And then also when with a good hypnotist, you won't be actually associating into the past for very long. The only reason we actually associate it, or we bring and recall that for a little bit, is so it can call in the unconscious mind to say, hey, this is this part that we want to shift. Now, if someone really doesn't want to go near that, then I trust there's other ways to do it where you don't have to recall it. Another way to approach it, maybe giving it a color, other things like that, as many also do hypnosis without content. So I believe that there's ways to do that as well.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it doesn't need to be so confronting, which is reassuring for people who I can imagine who suffer with any kind of trauma, because it's a slippery slope. You want to face it. You want to be able to heal from it. But that also sometimes can feel like a can of worms. And you don't really know what's going to happen when you do truly decide to face it. I definitely think that having someone you trust is probably the most important step of all of it. And having a trusted practitioner, a trusted professional to guide you and reassure you above all else, I would say is the most important when you are seeking to do this it's really about finding someone you trust and that you can have a connection with.
Connection, absolutely. Other huge thing. If you don't feel, even if they're a great practitioner and you don't feel, you don't really vibe with them and you don't really like them, it's actually not going to be as effective. The rapport, the trust isn't going to be there.
100%. And that's like any kind of therapy. I think that people are so scared to say no, and they feel like maybe they will offend someone, or they feel like something might be wrong with them because it's not working. But the connection and the trust is just a layer, but it's one of the most important layers if you want it to be a successful session, that you will have something to actually take away and apply and then make changes in your life.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like someone's own, honestly, it sounds like they're speaking a different language, like even just a different belief system. Someone might be saying the exact same thing and it's just in a different context and perspective and frame, and it just doesn't land. And then it's going to be hard if they can't meet you in that frame.
I agree. Yeah. 100%. It's important. And there's nothing wrong with kind of, 100%. There's nothing wrong with kind of shopping around for a therapist and finding the right person for you. And I don't want people to feel any kind of shame if they have to go through 1, 2, 3 changes. It's, if anything, empowering that you know yourself and you love yourself enough that you want to get the best out of the experience possible. So if that means you need to go through 3 different therapists until you find the right one that's going to really have that connection, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. It sounds actually pretty empowering.
Mm-hmm.
I know, not in this context, but in other contexts, I had a couple other people go, and it was actually one of the most empowering things, even for my own character, because it was kind of saying, like, what am I actually going to stand for? Who do I actually want to work with? And this sort of thing. This wasn't even in clients. This is other sphere of life, but that can almost be its own healing in itself.
And it's really advocating for yourself in a way that you maybe have never done before. And it's an extremely personal experience that no one is going to understand because they're not living it. It's solely you, and no one can do for you. Someone, maybe if it is a partner assisting their partner to find a practitioner, a therapist, they can help. But when it comes down to it, it is your personal experience in that one-on-one. And you are the only person that can say yes or no if it's going to work for you. You really have to advocate for yourself that it is the best decision to have the most success.
Absolutely.
So what I want to ask you is more about hypnosis, the subconscious. I heard you say the word associate too. All these little buzzwords that are getting pulled out now. Can you just dive into more of how really hypnosis works with the subconscious? And I know you already said before, it is a lot of those daily tasks, those patterns, those things we do. We don't even know why we're doing it, but it's just automatic. Mm-hmm. So how can we tap into that through hypnosis, give ourselves more purpose? And then also maybe how does that all come back around to bettering ourselves and being more authentic?
And I noticed you said the word purpose. How can give us purpose? I'm curious what context you mean that in.
I mean in the context of the sense of people are on autopilot. I think when we're on autopilot, we don't really know what our purpose is anymore because we just don't think about it. We just live, we do what we need to do. And while that state of living is fine to have a true fulfillment, you feel like you need to have a purpose and tap into what it is that you even want. So I think that finally breaks your autopilot when you want to reach that and you want to understand and just get to know yourself.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. It makes me think of when we want to make changes and kind of interrupt those automatic patterns. Is it even that, you know, there might be some, I often think that there might be some other change we want on the other side. However, maybe what we really want is actually to just disrupt our current state of being and step into something else, aka purpose. And I mean, purpose itself, I think, can also be a word that can also cause us anxiety, because then we start aiming for it when...
That's something else we need to talk about too.
That is like, yeah, I just created a hypnosis on it that'll come out in November, and I'm writing an ebook on it, because it's one of these topics that, oh my gosh, interpretation around it. But to answer your question, in articulating the unconscious / subconscious, I say that because people call it two different things, and then the unconscious and how it works, is we can think of it like there is a filter between our unconscious and our conscious mind. And our conscious mind is that area that we're focusing on, you know, few things at a time, more than a few things at a time. And there's our unconscious where there, you know, there's unlimited information, things are already happening automatically. And in utilizing hypnosis, we're allowing some of that information to sift through, and then also some other information to shift the opposite way. So we can go in unconscious, again, a framework, and make shifts, and vice versa. We can bring some of that, those changes out into real life. So I think of it, hypnosis, as that context of allowing us to open up that space through trance where we can make changes and then close it back up, because in the day we need that filter. That's why it's there. I don't know how we'd focus on anything otherwise. And then in the context of how do we actually apply this to living, be acting more on purpose, I'd say it's through hypnosis and conscious action. Whatever we're doing to interrupt our pattern, frankly, is allowing us to be more on purpose. We're putting ourselves in the driver's seat, perhaps, of our own purpose itself. Taking accountability for what that looks like. And it could even be also incorporating the belief that I have incredible ability to create change. I have an incredible ability to continuously evolve and grow in ways that I don't even know yet. And then how we can step into that, like integrate this in the day-to-day, I would say, is when we're doing something and we're noticing we're on autopilot, we kind of flag it in our mind. And whenever we do that, it's like kind of this relentlessness to say, or like maybe laughing at it. It doesn't have to change in a day, but actually marking it. And then shifting our attention back to what we do want. And it could, I'd say, like starting with something really small. So that's kind of a roundabout way of answering your question.
That makes sense. It really does. I like what you said about we kind of go through the motions of being back in the driver's seat. And then when we do notice we're on autopilot, we flag it, because that is something I noticed when I started to become more self-aware that I would do on a daily basis. I'd just be like, wait, what am I doing? Do I actually want to be doing this? Or am I just doing this? Like, how is this happening? And it's something that, I mean, I still experience, like, but I'm not at the point in my journey yet where I feel like I have fully just expanded. And this is something I still notice on a regular basis where I'll be doing something. I would say that cell phones are the most relatable for every single person who's going to listen to this.
Me too.
When you're on your phone and you are just like, la, 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 and you stop yourself and like, what am I doing? How long have I been on this? You look around you, you kind of connect to your five senses again. You look around, you smell, you touch whatever is next to you. And you're like, oh, I was in this autopilot. And now I'm coming back to it and realizing maybe there's something else that I would rather be doing. There probably is.
Mm-hmm. And to me, that seems like the biggest shift of all. Like, I don't know if we even give ourselves enough credit for that.
Yeah, that's true.
And the flip side of it too, that I find is almost like a ball, because I find that myself too. And sometimes it's frankly annoying when it's like, there I go again, doing this and that. And I see how it could be different. And I've started to almost feel like, well, what changes do you actually want to make? You don't have to be perfect at everything and have all these expectations. Like you can have parts of your life that frankly, it's like, yeah, that's not going to change for a while.
Mm-hmm. And it's extremely important to just be so kind with yourself and gentle with yourself when you do go through these motions and you have that flag and you're just like, oh, I'm on autopilot. And you shouldn't feel ashamed and you shouldn't be embarrassed, but you kind of can't help but feel a little, I guess embarrassed is the right word. You're just like, oh no, I know better. And it's like, you do, but even just bringing it into your awareness, bringing it into your consciousness and making yourself switch back onto being in control that is a great act of self-love and care and on the right path to maybe, if you truly want to, working on some of those mm-hmm. patterns and being a little bit more in control on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So I think another question I want to ask is, what are just some of the benefits someone would see after doing a couple sessions of hypnotherapy?
It depends on what someone wants to shift after a couple sessions. And like I was saying before, kind of what's in the way. So it could be that they have a certain fear. Maybe I'll speak to things that I've seen happen in a couple sessions, like one or two.
Sure.
So one, there are kind of like three areas of change. So one could be those things that I want to quote unquote fix. I don't mean it, but I think get the gist, you know, I'm scared of this, or I have this phobia of this. I don't want to smoke. I don't want to feel this pain, like different things that you want to shift. The other one could be things that you want to improve. So say like confidence, career, feeling in alignment with purpose. And then that third area is self-inquiry. Maybe I frankly just want to experience hypnosis to see what there is to see and what there might be to shift or what might be out of balance. And so those are kind of the three areas I've seen, like things you want to shift, things you want to improve, things you want to explore in through self-inquiry. In a couple of sessions, like I've seen people get rid of fears of water, get a new job, feel super empowered in their business, sleep better, lose a lot of weight. Sometimes it was literally there, or because that possibility was just there.
I know you said that it's also extremely fast paced, which is a big difference from some other forms of therapy. Does that almost make it seem unrealistic or unattainable? Since maybe someone listening is like, well, how does it happen that fast?
Yeah, I guess like my quickest answer would be I thought the same thing. And then I just time and time again continued to be blown away. Like, just what the heck? This is really cool. And seeing it myself. So I guess just experiencing it. And then the other thing is just if someone's thinking, like, I don't know if that's even possible, I'd check in with, do you really want to change? Like, are you really ready to change this? And when you have that thought, like, what's in the way in coming up? Because maybe that's more information you can already utilize today. And why it's, I think, effective is because you're going in and you're shifting it. Like, it's, you're shifting, like, the way your brain is even interpreting your pathways. Yeah. So I thought the same thing, and I just continue to see results. And so that's why I believe in it.
That's usually why professionals end up in their industry, because they had a profound experience and it worked for them. And all they want is so badly to share this knowledge and experience and have other people feel even just the tiniest bit close to how they felt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like for me, that inspiration wasn't even necessarily about change. Like even before hypnosis, I was like, I just want to direct people to that space. Like for me, it's like in my heart, I feel like there's a sensation that arises when I can trust anything I say, I can trust anything I do. It feels completely authentic. My voice changes. And there's that point that I've just learned like to tap into. And it's almost like, and everyone has that spot and they can just tap into it. And I guess for me, I think that hypnosis it speaks to kind of how people can find that landscape, and they might find it there's many other mediums, but that's kind of like the pull for me is that it's like right there.
I think everyone has it right there as well. And that's something that I really try to empower people to trust themselves, is that you have confidence inside of you. You have power inside of you already. It already is in there. You just need to find your outlet and how to harness it so that you can be your most you that you want to be. It's amazing how much we actually stop ourselves from being fulfilled and living up to our highest potential because of maybe we are on autopilot. Maybe it's because we have so much in our subconscious that is giving us doubt, that is saying we can't do it, that we aren't meant to be like a certain way, whatever it is that is holding us back. I really try to encourage people to look within and realize how much they already have. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of finding your outlet, finding what motivates you, finding what gives you connection with your authentic self and can harness it and make it come alive.
That's so well said. So well said.
Thank you so much, Rena. Where can everyone find you on social media?
You can find me at Hutton Hypnosis. Hutton Hypnosis on social media platforms or on Spotify, Marina Hutton. Hutton.
Amazing. Do you have any last words?
The house is best not built on quicksand, or what did I say?
House can't be built on quicksand. I feel like I should like tattoo that on my body so I know.